My name is Dot Nichterlein. We're doing a series of discussions about the roles of men and women in American society. And tonight's title is Men and Women in the Mind of God. Now that is a bit misleading, but I thought it might draw someone into the room. Right. We're going to have a discussion tonight on a topic about which I know very little. I have read very little about it. I think perhaps that's because I only started thinking about it not all that long ago, and I didn't know enough to look ahead of time. I also think that perhaps our discussions about men and women and religion are so much so often involved with theology, per se, that we don't get around to talking about the focus that I have, or that I would like us to discuss tonight, which has to do with the social order in which religions develop. I went back to graduate school 15 years after I had left school, and I was really very nervous about that, you know, going to school with all these sharp young people. And I was fortunate that the first class I went into was taught by a man who later became my advisor for my master's thesis, a very wise, gentle, kind man who happened to be Chinese, who said, very first thing, it is an accident of history that I am sitting here and you are sitting there. He said, I have had certain advantages in my biography of being able to study certain kinds of things, and I am happy to share them with you. You have the advantage of having lived certain experiences and having learned other things, and I hope that you will share them with me. That's the attitude that I try to take in my teaching, and it's especially important tonight. So please share your insights into this topic and things that you may have read or gained in other discussions that you've had or things that you've thought about. Because what I really want to discuss is the idea. You may agree with this idea and you may not, but let's take it as a given at first to get started. The idea that the roles that religion assigns to males and females depends to a large extent on what people in a given culture think about God. And what they think about God is determined very much by the culture in which they were born or socialized. Now, it might not make a lot of sense to you, but let's get into it. The thesis is that societies which place a higher value on women tend to assign to them a higher position in the religious sphere, or at least think of them more positively in religious terms. And those societies which place women at the bottom of the barrel tend not to give them very much prestige in religious terms. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Okay. What I have found in the little bit of reading that I've been able to do, and it's not a whole lot, as I said before, is that in looking at some of the different kinds of societies that have existed in our history, in the world's history, and a lot of that is based on speculation by anthropology, there have been ebbs and flows in the religious realm concerning males and females. And nobody that I know of yet has looked at that in the context of the values, the relative values placed on men and women. Somebody's probably done it, but I'm not aware of it yet. But some of the kinds of things that are important in societies which place a higher value on females are things like in very primitive societies, as we talked about a couple of days ago, it is often essential that the work of females is complementary to the work of males, that the labors of both are absolutely essential for the survival of not only the family group, but the thrive or the whole larger scale in that society. Okay, so the cooperative work value is one characteristic that makes women have a higher status in society. Also, in a society that has a short supply of females, sometimes that's artificial in cultures that practice infanticide. They artificially make the supply of women smaller, then men fight over them, and then their position is likely to be somewhat higher than in a culture which has too many women. Okay, so that's another characteristic. In a society that sees its men going off to war for long periods of time, some of the early Middle Ages history shows that kind of thing. Men are away for a long time, the women are left behind to take control of certain kinds of things in the society. And at least during the time that the men are away, women's role is valued. Sparta, now I don't know a whole lot about the history of classical countries. I don't know a whole lot about the history of anybody. Sparta apparently had its economy based on seagoing trade. Anybody know what that meant? They weren't subject to attack by other countries because they were on sea rather than on land. And also the men were away for a while, so that tended to be another kind of situation where women had some authority. And in some of the early feudal countries, when a king or an emperor was established who took over some of the authority from the previous chieftains of the smaller tribes, in those cases, women tended to have a slightly higher value also. Countries that had a religion based on ancestral cults needed women to carry on some of those rituals, so their position was higher there. There have been some societies that have afforded more political privileges to women at certain stages of their development, or who give women certain property rights. And that seems to correlate a little bit, at least, with some of the higher value placed on women in religion. And another thing I found was that in certain parts, sometimes during the Middle Ages, some historians think that evidence of a slightly higher value placed on women was in periods when things like there was a kind of a bawdy atmosphere in society, you know, people told sex jokes and things in mixed company. So women were seen to be equivalent in those kinds of periods, or at least didn't have to be protected from that kind of environment, and so on. So there does seem, from what I have read, to be a correlation between some of those kinds of ideas about women and what happens in the religious sphere. And that seems to me to be quite obvious in the development of Christianity. And I think maybe we can talk about this a bit. Early Christianity, and some of you were here this afternoon when John gave his talk about Reinhold Niebuhr's theology and how feminists have critiqued it. And part of that kind of leads into this. Early Christianity developed in a society in which then attitudes about women were very low. And Christianity came in as a new kind of religion, which was based partly on the idea that the end of the world was right around the corner. And so the divisions between people, the slave and free, the male and the female, weren't important anymore, because people who accepted the new religion didn't expect they were going to be around for much longer. They didn't need those barriers among themselves. Somewhat later, however, the end of the world hadn't come yet. And as the church developed, more and more the old attitudes about male superiority came back into the thinking of the people who were involved in the church. The clergy became exclusively male and so on. Then at another time period, the elevation of the Virgin Mary shifted attention away from the actual practices towards women, or the attitudes towards women. And the idea that women were either pure and should be put on a pedestal was in contrast to the idea that women were the ones who were responsible for sin having been brought into the world. And woman was seen as either saint or devil. And the witch hunts that happened in the later Middle Ages supposedly had something to do with this too, that women who were considered witches were thought of as having sexual practices relating to the devil and so on. Now those are some of the ideas that I have found in the field of research that I have done, and I wonder if you have any reactions to any of this kind of thing, or any explanation to give to this.
I was reading something on the social impact of the Napoleonic War, where World War I, where whole villages had no males between the ages of 12 and 15. There was the author's research that the old law of supply and demand had a lot to do with the formulation of male roles and female roles in the 19th century as a result of that. The very scarcity of males put them kind of on a pedestal too. There were an awful lot of females who couldn't be with a man under any circumstances, even if they wanted to be. They were, if you will, much less expensive. The males, by their rarity, were much more expensive, desirable. And that had an impact, especially on the continent, rolled right through until about the last quarter of the 19th century. And World War I reinforced that by doing a similar thing early in mid-century. Well, obviously then males become more important simply because they are competitive with
war. Serve some of the same function in depleting the supply of one sex that infanticide did once upon a time, or in some cultures it still is practiced. Anything else anyone would like to say? Well, let's go on a little bit then. I'm a sociologist. And the sociology of religion, as it was developed by the early theorists, Durkheim and Marx and Weber, is based on the supposition that religion is a construction of society, that the social order needs certain kinds of functions filled. And developing an ideology which is above and beyond humans allows the society to fulfill those functions in a large scale. So that people then are motivated to behave in certain kinds of ways. Now, I happen to be a Christian. I think that religion is a lot more than that. I believe in revelation. I believe that the message of the Bible, that God loves humans, sent his son for us. I believe that that is true. I also accept the view, however, that religion does provide functions for society, and that in developing religious ideas, people don't set out to say, we need this done in our society, let's invent something that will take care of that. But the development of philosophies and religions does serve that kind of function. It seems to be true that, or at least this is what theorists who study these things say, that when women are devalued in society, men do whatever they need to do to be sure that they themselves are not tainted by the characteristics that women have. And women have historically been a source of mystery. I have a friend who teaches the classics, and I've heard him give a lecture on the view of women in the ancient world, or before the ancient world, in the prehistoric time, how females were the, I think it was the phase of the moon, but they were in control of the moon, the darker part of life, because they had this cycle. And it's also mysterious how birth happens. It was in those days, at least. And the whole idea of menstruation is very mysterious and a source of fear and anxiety. And so the idea that a male might express part of himself in a way that has been defined by the culture as female is very troublesome in certain social periods and in some cultures. So the characteristics of women are feared. We talked a couple of days ago about the kinds of things that have happened in the world, historical changes that have come about, that have created pressures to equalize more or less the roles of men and women. We talked about things like war, longer lifespan, one of the ones we didn't get around to talking about was perhaps the most important one, and that is the fact of birth control. In the 20th century, in North America and parts of Europe, it has become possible for females to not exactly become free of their biology, but to separate the consequences of their biology from the rest of their lives. Up until this time, a woman was either pregnant or capable of becoming pregnant at any time through a good part of her lifespan. So that possibility limited very much her sphere of action that she had. And it used to be the fact that an employer in our society could say to a woman, I can't hire you for this position because you might become pregnant and you might leave. Well, that's now illegal because, partly because she is able to control the birth process to some extent. Formerly, especially in primitive societies, the roles that women played very much depended on biology. The hunting and gathering societies, the foraging societies, women played a cooperative role because the kind of work that needed to be done in sustaining the life of the community was work that happened right around where she lived. If she had small children, she could still gather berries and so on all the way up until the child was able to take care of itself. The male might do the hunting, meaning the heavy weight kinds of things, but they were cooperative. Both of those things were needed. In agricultural society, that began to change to some extent, but part of work that was really important was more in the man's sphere than in the woman's. So biology has been very important throughout history. In fact, Marx said that biology is destiny. Well, it isn't so much anymore.
Freud,
yeah. Thank you. It seems to be the case then, in looking at what happens in societies historically, that when the sexes have very separate roles to play, there is an inevitable comparison that's made, and the male role is seen as the superior one. So woman's role is devalued then. We have to remember that there are always class differences in societies that are stratified by class. And in some cases, such as in Greece, women of the higher classes had more privileges and were of more value than women of the lower classes. So it has been a trend. Anything anybody wants to contribute here?
I think economics will have a lot to do with it. I mean, any woman who's from a rich family, I think still today has a little more power than a woman from a middle class family.
She might.
In relation to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she marries someone who's comes from a family who's not even quite as rich.
Mm-hmm.
From a family who's richer.
If she's just as an ornament, then she can
no, but I don't know the trappings that can be like being a vice president of a father or something at the time she was a bitch and
mm-hmm.
never did anything but got a salary. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people have power over that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk then about Christianity, and particularly in our world. Do you see any relationship between the value that is put on women in our society and the kind of role that Christian religion has been taking?
Well, I'm not thinking so much of current situation. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, the thesis being that the role of women in society is reflected in the role or the view of women in religion. Well, how would you deal with the question of the cult of the virgin? That is, in certain not primitive, backward society, in which the role of women is devalued, the Roman Catholic, at the same time, you have this cult of Mary. We have a very, very high role, a very exalted role. I mean, even though women in that society may be in a very inferior position,